Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B.
Today's guest is Chris Melita, 17 years of career experience with several generations of firefighters within his family, a firefighter paramedic in the Kansas City metro area, and creator and owner of Carry the Flag. Chris's grandfather is a retired deputy chief with Kansas City, Kansas Fire, serving for 32 years. When you listen to Chris talk about his background and family history, the writings were on the wall of the line of work Chris was going to fall into. This episode is most certainly a little different from the rest, as Chris and I went down a few rabbit holes of discussions and topics, which was a blast. Needless to say, gems and nuggets were being dropped from Chris, and hopefully the listeners can catch on to a few of them. With that, I present Chris Melita.
I'm Chris Melita. I'm the founder of Carry the Flag. I've done 17 years in the fire service as a firefighter paramedic, and I'm glad to be here.
I appreciate you, Chris. Thank you for coming on. With that being said, let the listeners know and myself how you got into the fire service.
All right, how I got into the fire service. So my grandfather actually did 32 years in Kansas City, Kansas, and was a deputy chief of the Kansas City, Kansas Fire Department. He didn't really talk about it too much when we were growing up, but we knew he was a firefighter. But we didn't understand like some of the, plaques and stuff up on the wall was that he was actually the deputy chief of the Kansas City, Kansas Fire Department. So that always inspired me. I remember like cleaning gutters and stuff, and we would throw the ladder up on the house, and he'd be like, man, you'd be a great firefighter. You'd be a great firefighter. And it always hit with me, but I didn't really know like too much about it because he never really talked about it. He did talk about falling through a floor once. And we're sitting there at the dinner table and he's telling this story. And my grandma looks over at him and says, you never told me that story. And so he was also involved. It was a big fire down on Southwest Boulevard here in Kansas City. And if I'm right, it killed 7 firefighters. It was actually before, a lot of the BLEVI training was done. So it was actually the big Southwest Boulevard fire. And I'm in the academy reading this story and, in the Kansas City, Kansas story. And they're telling us that this was our department that responded to it. So it was actually really weird to learn that he was actually there in that day. They're playing the video. And I'm like, that's my grandpa right there. So he had inspired me a lot. Not only was he on the department, but my cousin's on the department. My brother's on the department. I've got 2 other cousins. And great cousin, and then his dad and his grandpa were on the fire department. So it's always been one of those things that I want to do. It did pass my dad and my uncle's generation, but everybody else seems like if you're male in our family, you're on the fire department.
Right.
So,
okay.
Very cool.
So needless to say, it was somewhat inevitable that you're going to become a fireman.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's the best job in the world. You know that. Like now, I'm like, so happy to have found it,
Right.
Because there's a lot of people that don't even understand the job. They don't understand the process of getting into it and everything. And I was luckily to have the family aspect and the stories and stuff that it was like, all right, like this is what I want to do, Okay. So
with that being said, can you tell us about a little bit about your journey? Like at what point were you like, this is what I want to do? And did you apply anywhere and everywhere, or how'd that go about?
Oh, dude, like back when did I get on? I started at Leavenworth County EMS in 2007. So everybody knows if you applied after, if you were in that hiring process right after September 11th, you knew that you were going up against like 200 guys for 2 spots. And it was, you went to every hiring process and it was the same guys. But just to rewind it a little bit, yeah, I got done playing baseball in college. And after that, I literally was just talking to my buddy that we were on the run together today that I went through the academy with. And it's like you just go through that process of life where you're like, all right, like I'm ready to be an adult and do, get life going. And I remember one day I wanted to be an entrepreneur. My mom had a business here in town and I was working with her and I was like, man, I, I really want to be a firefighter. So I called my brother that day and I was like, hey, how do we become a firefighter? Because I knew that he was already taking classes and stuff to get on, to get his certifications to start applying. And I was like, hey man, I want to do it with you. Let's do it together. So, dude, you and everybody knows, like, when you start taking that EMT class your very first time, it is like a whole new ball game. Like, it was a whole new world where I'm like, because I think you had to get like an 80% to get your CPR card. And I got like a 70, and I was like, oh my God, like this is harder than what, this is a whole new ball game, like whole new study process and everything about. And I mean, right from right then, I mean, I buckled down and it was like I wanted to get 100% on everything that I did. Ended up getting through EMT school, and I was building houses at that time. And man, I remember I'm 6'2". I'm on top of this house roofing. This was like before 08, before the whole house crisis went out on. And I'm like feeding shingles, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, dude, I've got to get on someplace. I've got to just get my career started. Like, this isn't what I want to do. And I had a really good boss at that time that he didn't want me building houses. He was like, man, I want you to do better. I want you to, be a firefighter and succeed. So awesome to him. Later that year, I got on with, like I said, Leavenworth County EMS. Anything that I could do just to start shift work, to start getting experience. And it was a great place to start. It was a great place to start. And from there, I went to medic school. And at that time, I mean, dude, you, like I said, you were trying to get on any place that you could. You're going up against 100, 200 guys on everything. And went to medic school. And in that process, Kansas City, Kansas Fire Department hired me. And that was the place that I wanted to be. That was where like I said, my grandpa was a chief. I heard stories that he was one of the founders of the union there. And a lot of cool stories that you hear from back in the day. So that was where I wanted to be. My brother, him and I, dude, we went through everything together. EMT school, paramedic school together, fire school, everything. He actually went on and got on Grandview Fire Department over in Missouri, and then did 5 years over there, and then came over to Kansas City, Kansas with me. So it was really cool. Had some cool experiences and got to run calls together. We ended up getting a chief that didn't like family members running calls together or being on the same station. So there, towards the end, before I left, there was a couple times that we got to run calls together, but it was very, few far in between because of that rule. They kept me on one side of the city, him on the other side of the city, so it was, we could bid stations around each other, but we couldn't be at the same station. And that was our goal, to be at the same station. And then once he did that, it was like, well, crap, man. I was like, I'll just try to find, a station on your shift so that we can at least be on the same shift. Yeah, so it's been a cool process, man.
So you get that either the phone call or the email letting you know, hey, you've been accepted. Did you have to do some sort of academy, rookie school, or
Dude,
anything like that?
I mean, like, I was on pins and needles. So yes, like you said, you had to go through the process. You had, and then after that, you did a psych test. After that, you did a lie detector test, and then you had to do a drug test, and then you had to talk to a psychiatrist.
Really?
Yeah, dude, you had to, and I had a really chill session with him. Man, I don't drink, I don't do any drugs. Like, I didn't really have a real history. At that time, I didn't even drink beer because I was training for an Ironman, and I was like, I don't, So it was very, the only thing that he hit me on was he was like, well, if you do the calculations right, because I mean, dude, they're like asking when your parents got married, when your siblings' birthdays were. Dude, I'm like making stuff up. I'm like, I'm horrible at this. I have no clue. Like, there's a huge age gap between my sisters and my brother and I, 15 years to be exact. And so he's doing the math, and he's like, it looks like your parents had your sisters in high school and they were out of wedlock. I'm like, I don't know, man. I mean, that sounds right. Like, okay, you did the math. And, come to find out that my dad's telling me now he was all right. Now he's telling me about their high school stuff. And I'm like, dude, like, I never knew this stuff. But yeah, dude, that psychiatrist, he nailed it. I mean, dude, he would get people kicked out of the process.
Wow.
He would dig up some shit and get people pissed. And it was crazy, man. So we started off, you got called up to City Hall, and there was like a group of 20. And after we got done with the whole process, it was like half of the people were different because people got kicked during the process. It was crazy.
See,
So
I've heard of guys like having lie detector. Look, I that's not how I had to do it. Like when I did it, when I got hired at my department, it was you took a physical agility test, an interview, and then if you made it through that interview, a chief's interview, and then they called you to get hired. Like I didn't have to do a lie detector, I didn't have to do a psych, I didn't have to do a drug test. I think that's like common, but the lie detector and the psych test, like I don't know how I would fare out on those. I'm just gonna be honest.
dude, it was like a 500 question test.
Damn.
200, 500. It was a lot of questions. I feel like some of the psych test was to see if you even finished that test because you're just like the same question over and over, just worded just a little differently. It was really weird. But yeah, dude, yeah, now that you do bring it up. So it was kind of a weird process because when you got on, you showed up and did the physical agility. After you did the physical agility, they went in right into like a chief's interview, which wasn't like a chief, it was like a deputy chief or yeah, it was not deputy, but not battalion, but yeah, it was a battalion chief interview. So dude, I didn't even meet the chief until the academy. Like I never had an interview with him. Never once talked to him until the academy. It was like it was a weird process. They have now changed a lot of it. But yeah, dude, I didn't even meet the chief during the interview process, which all the other departments around, like that was like second step, like interview with the chiefs, a board of chiefs sitting there talking to you and you're like, everybody goes through it. You're like, oh, don't sound stupid. But yeah, dude, and then we had to do a 4 month academy,
4 months.
which I mean, man, like the dude that I'm running with today, him and I, we met in the academy. Like friendships you build in there. There's always like that one or two people that you connect with that, dude, we 17 years. And so when I left KCK and went to North Carolina, when I was coming back, he was the one that he left to go to this other department that I'm on. And he was like, dude, I'm not going to let you go anywhere else. And I'm like, okay, Mike, but like, dude, I had like, this isn't a guaranteed spot. Like, I have to apply to every place because if you guys don't take me, then I'm SOL. And luckily, man, I made it through their process and got on here. It's all good.
Can you tell us about the department you're on now? Size, how many stations, personnel, things of that nature.
Yeah, so KCK, we're at 18 stations. And like I was telling you that I did leave KCK after 15 years. That was my.
I want to say I'm talking about your current department.
So I left KCK after 15 years. I hit retirement, and so I wanted to be a firefighter on the beach. So I went to Oak Island, North Carolina. They hired me and did a year there, and that's when my wife ended up getting sick and she was like, we need to go home. So yeah, the process here, it's such a great department. They let me do a Zoom interview, the first one, and I actually for the first two they let me do a Zoom interview. So one of the other departments that I put in for, they made me fly home back to Kansas to do the interview. And then they didn't hire me. I was like, thanks, guys. You could have saved me the 500. Like, thanks, Brotherhood. Like, come on, man. Like, just save me the money and say, give me an excuse of why. So they let me do the first two Zoom interviews. And then they make you come and ride along for 12 hours. Sorry, was it 12? No, not till 8. Till it was you got on it, shift at 8, and then they left at 5, I think.
Okay.
I think it was 5. So they send you around to the stations, you run a couple scenarios, you talk to the guys, and then, you kind of get the hey, yay or nay from them. And so it was definitely a way different experience that I've done. Like Oak Island, there was no like it was hey, you meet with the chief, and it was a Oak Island was a small department. They had about 3 stations, and so does Consolidated Fire District 2 that I'm with. We have 3 stations, so they're about the same size. But the Oak Island one was like I met with the chief and HR. They gave me the blessing when I got back to Kansas, and then we moved to North Carolina in a couple weeks. So, but yeah, man, it was really cool. It was great. Like I said, the brotherhood, man, like. That's just one of the things that I feel like this department, this tradition that we're losing is the brotherhood on taking care of people. And I've had, it was awesome that when I was going back through this process, even when I was looking at Oak Island to get on there, I would apply at this other one department. It was it Hilton Head? Because I want to give this chief a shout out because he was awesome. He was in Hilton Head and they didn't have a spot. And he said, hey, I just wanted to give you a courtesy call. These are the departments around us that are looking to hire people. So why don't you apply with them? So I was like, dude, I thanked him. I was like, man, like you didn't have to do that. And he was like, dude, I want to, I see your stuff. You look like you're a great candidate. We would love to have you. We're just not hiring. So that was awesome. And
I mean, not very many would just be like, oh, this guy's trying to apply. Oh, well, we
dude,
don't have any
deputy DD,
positions.
yeah.
Next, and that's it.
Yeah. So it was really
Okay.
cool.
So,
But also during the Zoom interview for this, my new department that I'm on, like you said, they kind of are like a little different in their hiring process. They asked me, because dude, now being a little older, we all like we study for interviews, we study the questions so that we're not like tripped up on stuff. And so, dude, I studied up on it. I knew what I wanted to say. And the very last question after the first interview, they go, if there was a zombie apocalypse and you could only take 3 people in this world, who would you take? Dude, I was like, I was like, I think I answered, I was like, my brother and my dad. But okay, wait, if I bring my wife, do my kids come? And they're like, you can only bring 3 people. And I'm like, okay, my wife and my 2 kids. Dude, it threw me off. I was like, how do you answer that question, But now understanding the department that they're just kind of more laid back. They want, just to see like your personality and stuff because everybody can answer those questions, but it was, now knowing I'm like, all right, I get why they asked that. Threw me off, man. I was like, zombie apocalypse, what the hell are you talking about?
How many engines and ladders, do you guys do ambulances, things like that over there?
So, our department, no, we don't do ambulances. We have a county ambulance service. And what do we have? We have 3 engines and 2 trucks, and then we have a squad that runs the medical calls at station 2. So they're manpower, and they help run the medical calls to take the stress off the engine. So.
And your staffing, your minimum staffing across the apparatuses.
Okay, so 3 on the engines and 3 on the trucks, and our chief is working on getting 4 on the trucks. I actually thought that they were saying that 4 on the trucks and 4 on the engines. So, basically minimum staffing for everybody. Even though what threw me off in North Carolina at Oak Island, sometimes we would run 2 on the engine.
I could see that. I mean,
Crazy,
yeah.
man.
It is what it is,
I was like, 2? Like, that's it? They had their volunteers. It kind of threw me off. There was one place in South Carolina. Gosh, what was it? Was it Georgetown that I applied for? No, not Georgetown. I'd have to look up the name. I was going through the hiring process at the same time with them, and they said, "Hey, how are you running a rig by yourself? Like if you're at the station by yourself." And I'm like, "What? Like by myself? You know, and I was like, yeah, they were like, sometimes it's just you that they're at the rig. And then if there's a call, you go and volunteers come. I was like, I mean, I'm
Dude,
in.
there are places that are do that's
Yeah.
what they gotta do.
It's crazy, man. It's
Yeah.
crazy. I was like, that is a whole new ball game for me. I was like, I didn't even know people still did that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
crazy.
It's through talking to so many people, man, it is like eye-opening how you hear, yeah, we'll run with two. Sometimes we'll do one, and then yeah, volunteers meet us, or if not, the next station that's 15 minutes away. And you got guys that'll get there, put the truck in pump gear, stretch the line to the door. Like, bro, there are some people that they got to do what they got to do.
Dude, so when I was at Oak Island, Bald Head Island is right next to it.
I know a guy from Baldhead. Yep.
Yeah, who do you know?
I just had him on my damn show. Because
Steve?
Baldhead is weird because, well, not weird, but it's different because the firefighters are also like police officers and vice versa. And I'm like, for real? And he's like, yeah, we alternate, you know, what we're doing or whatever. I'll look up his name, but and I'll tell you, but go ahead.
Is it Steve?
It is Steve. Yes.
Barger?
Yes.
Are you
Yes.
kidding me?
Yeah, he was on the show. A couple, I don't know. Dude, I have so many freaking episodes. I'm sorry, listeners.
Dude, that's
But
awesome. Steve and I used to work out together in Southport.
really?
Small
Damn,
world,
small
man.
freaking world.
Yeah, yeah,
Okay.
yeah. We
Okay.
literally were just talking the other day. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. So they end up having a big fire there. I mean, it burned up one of the mansions, and then went to another one.
Yep. He was telling me about that.
Yeah. So when they call for mutual aid from Oak Island, they had to. So Oak Island has to. We have to drive the rig to the.
The place you go on the boat.
Yeah. What is the? It's not the. It's
It's like a
not.
ferry, right?
It's not the ferry. It's the National Guard on the water with the Coast Guard. Coast Guard.
Okay.
We have to drive to the Coast Guard ship, put our packs on there, and the Coast Guard takes us over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was pretty fortunate that I was on that night, but I was at the wrong station. Station three got called to it, and then I had to go fill station one, and I was like, oh, damn, man, that would have been a cool fire to be a part of. Like, how many
Yeah.
times you get to go on a freaking Coast Guard ship to a fire, and then they were taking engines from Wilmington on the barge over there because they didn't have enough equipment. Crazy, man.
Hey,
That's crazy.
they're still operating like that to this day. Because I remember when Steve was talking, I was like, "So that's how your mutual aid works?" He's like, "Yeah, like you have to get the Coast Guard to bring you into the island." And I'm like, that's wild. Like, I've never heard that. But
Great.
2025, this is what departments are doing. This is what they have to do.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. That was a crazy night. I still have pictures on my phone because when you go over to Oak Island, it comes over a bridge, and on top of the bridge, you could look over and see the glow on the island, and you're like, dude, that is insane.
Okay.
And I mean, dude, I had to learn so much when I went to Oak Island. I mean, you know, alligators and hurricanes and riptides and sharks and
Yeah.
first off, the alligators, I was like, wait, what? Because it was like my second shift there. And somebody called in that there was like an 8-foot alligator in the surf. And I'm like, you guys have alligators here? And they're like, oh yeah, man, we've got some big ass alligators here. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, they're like, yeah, we get a fire down by the golf course, you better watch out down by that pond. I'm like, yeah, good to know, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, culture shock,
Well,
huh?
and then two, it was like maybe a couple shifts after that, my brother's still back here in Kansas City at the station, and he's watching Shark Week. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Oak Island's known that one summer, two kids got their arms bit off by sharks in one day. So he's like, hey, he took a picture of it. He's like, I'm watching Shark Week. Is this the island that you're at? And I'm like, yes. So my captain ended up being the medic that was on the scene that day of it. And he was like, dude, it was It was horrendous.
Dude, so we're getting ready to go to the beach next week, right? Ocean water. I don't do ocean water. Like, I'll sit on the sand where I can see the water. And I'm like, yep, nice view. I ain't getting in it.
Which beach are you going to?
Carolina.
Oh, Carolina Beach. Nice. All right. You're right there in Wilmington.
But it's like, man, I don't, if I can't see it, if I can't see what's in there, I ain't getting in it. Like, it's cool to watch. It's cool to see here the waves crash and all that. I'll see people swimming and I'm like, nope.
They're out there.
Oh, I'm sure they're out there.
Man, especially there.
I'm sure.
And especially when you see that the I think it's the continental shelf out there that drop off is that that big great white shark pings off of North Carolina a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm out. I'm out, bro. I'll sit my happy ass on out on the beach underneath a umbrella, and we'll call it a day.
Dude, there's a dude, you need a wasn't you and I talking about Mo with the PTSD and
Mo Peacock.
you should stop up at Wrightsville Beach when you're in town. I'll tell them you're up there.
Okay.
I was telling them about you the other day when we were chatting.
Okay.
So
I mean, that guy's, he meets so many people. He probably, I'm probably like a blur to him. But I mean, from what I understand, he's a pretty cool dude, pretty chill dude. I see he's very active physically. He's doing a damn thing.
yeah, he was active until old Kansas City came in and freaking smoked him on everything. You tell him that.
I'm sure.
And sprints and everything.
Okay.
Dude, I don't know if you know, but he's like what? USA champ for the lifeguards and like four or five times. I'm like, Jesus, Mo. Like, dude.
Well,
So
I mean,
awesome, dude.
since we brought him up, that kind of goes hand in hand with physical fitness. So I want you to tell the listeners how important is physical fitness, man, when you're a firefighter?
Dude, I mean, that's why I started doing the stuff when I wanted to. Was my goal at the very beginning out of the academy was I didn't want my captain outworking me. I didn't want him to be looking at me being like, dude, really, your bottle's down and I'm still going. I mean, man, everybody expects you to be on your A game. Like people are calling you in their worst day. I don't want to be the one to tell them that I couldn't drag their family member out of that house. I don't want to be the one to tell your wife, your kids, that I couldn't get you out of that house because I wasn't physically fit. I mean, that's why it's one of the reasons, and I tell everybody what Carry the Flag is about, purpose. Who are you doing it for? Who are you carrying the flag for? Are you carrying it for your kids, your family, your crew? I'm going to tell you my number one thing is my family and my kids. My number two thing is my crew. Is they rely on me. You rely on me. Everybody relies on each other around us. And physical fitness is big, not only on that part, but I was actually discussing this with one of the police officers here in town. He's got Go Further incentive and or initiative. And I feel like it's the number one step in mental health. I think it's a big thing that people don't talk about. Everybody talks about, quitting alcohol and this and that and this and that. I feel like the number one structure on how I get through things is through physical fitness, going out, getting that stress out, getting that run in where I can talk or, just clear your mind, go lift, get into a healthy part of your body. And again, not just the physical aspect of taking care of my crew, but taking care of my own mind.
Okay. So since you brought it up, the carry the flag, how did it start? Like, or what sparked that notion for you to go, hey, this is what I'm gonna do?
Dude, it started last 9/11 stair climb. And I've done the stair climb 4 years. And now, once I got back from North Carolina, this was my first year back. And I had family obligations going on, so I couldn't do it. And I was going in to work out, and I ran into a guy that he was doing it this year. And he said, "Hey, Chris, you doing the 9/11 stair climb?" I was like, "Man, I have family obligations. I can't do it this year." And as firefighters do, we bust each other's balls. He looked at me and said, "Chris, who's going to carry the flag?" Who's going to carry the flag for this new generation that doesn't even know 9/11? Who's going to carry the flag for that guy that his name that because they give you like a sheet, it's a picture of the person's face, of the firefighter that you take so you climb the stairs for him. Who's going to carry that picture? And I was like, dang, man. You know, that was deep. You know, we kind of jacked around and laughed, but as I went into the locker room, I don't know if I was changing or if I was grabbing something real quick. I was like, God, man, that hit me. So we go into the weight room and we're starting to lift, and you know, it's getting down to like 8, 9 reps, and you're like, who's gonna carry the flag? Who's gonna carry the flag? You know, and just going after it. And it was like, man, so I'm not gonna get into the other brands that I've ran before. But at January, I was running a mountain bike brand called Dirt Life, and it kind of came up to a pivot point where I was in 6 stores. It was starting to roll, and you know, it was cool, but it was hard for me to do because it wasn't something I did every day. I liked mountain biking, but I didn't do it every day. But physical fitness, motivation, that's like me every single morning. That's me. Like I'm the first one up freaking doing shit. And it came to this pivot point, and I had the saying, who's going to carry the flag? It just, I mean, dude, it was like every time I went and ran, like not maybe not every time, but every other time it was like, who's going to carry the flag, Chris? Who's going to carry the flag? I'm like, man, I need to do something with this. And so I came to the pivot point in January and I was like, you know what? Let me just sit down and just design. I'm at the station. Let me just design it real quick and see if I could think of something cool, you know? So I went through and I was kind of messing in a, I took off who's going to, and I was like, carry the flag was there. All right, all right. So I literally put this logo together and I looked at it. I was like, all right, that's pretty badass. I think that's pretty cool. I was like, I feel like the story's cool. I feel like the saying's cool. Like it inspires me, it motivates me. So I quietly started designing some stuff. I started doing a little bit of social media stuff just to see if people cared because it's like if people don't care, then it's like, whatever, I'm just gonna, you know, put it back. Well, all of a sudden, it was like I started getting a little traction, a little more traction. And next thing you know, I'm getting some orders, and I was like, okay, man, like people care. Like, you know, I'm getting really cool messages from people. They're like, man, like this inspired me. You know, today I worked out because I thought of you, and you were talking about who's gonna carry the flag. And I was like, damn, I was like, all right, badass, man, like really cool. But like in your entrepreneur journey, like I have so many thoughts that I'm like, man, I think it's cool, but you know, let me. So I was like, let me just print off 30 shirts and I'm gonna go up to the Speedway. Not supposed to do it, but I'm gonna just go up there and see if I can sell them, you know, see what people think. And so print off 30 shirts and I take my kids and to everything that I do so that we can all learn, you know, hard work. And what it really takes, yeah, money doesn't grow on trees, and how, you know. So, they went up with me, and my wife went up with me. And, like, dude, the first 10 I went to, it was horrible. I don't even know what my sales pitch was. And people were probably like, what the hell is this guy, you know? And so it started getting a little easier. And then, like, the next one was a paramedic that was actually, that works for the ambulance service in our thing. And he was like, man, that is really cool. I think he ended up buying like 3 shirts and it made me feel better. I was like, all right, like people get it. Like they get it. And man, so then I hit the next people and they were like, oh, dude, we love it. I think they ended up buying like 4 shirts. I was like, oh, sweet, man. Like people care. Like this is awesome. Like get it. And the more and more I went by, all of a sudden I started getting like people's stories. Like, man, I love this. You know, my father, you know, my husband was a fireman and he passed away. And I was like, oh, you know, and I mean, it kind of hurt, you know, like, damn, I didn't see this side of it. You know, I didn't think of this part of it. And then, hey, you know, my dad was a Vietnam vet and he died in a helicopter accident. You know, his helicopter was shot down in Vietnam. And I was like, oh, damn. You know, then, you know, so it was awesome. I was like, man, this just isn't a brand, but it seems like it's a mission too, like of carrying the flag. And about an hour later, I'd look down and I mean, like, dude, we sold all the shirts other than like, no, we ended up selling all the shirts. And I was like, damn, dude, like this could be something, you know? And so ever since then, like we're pushing it on social. We're trying to get our name out there, building it, and people are, getting our stickers, and we give out the stickers free just to, get our name out and start building the brand. Like, hey, if you like what we're saying, put it on your water bottle, put it on your phone. I've got mine on my phone right now, like to look at. And we just did the pickleball event over in North Kansas City, and dude, it was my first sell was to a professional football player, so that always makes it better. And then the dude's wearing it around the freaking pickleball court because he went out and played pickleball, and then he got all sweaty and he threw on the Carry the Flag shirt, so he's like doing interviews on the news with it. I'm like, dude, that's so badass. So it's been a really cool thing, and I can't thank everybody enough for all the support that they've shown it, because we're brand new. I mean, January is when we started, and I mean, it's just starting to get going.
Okay. And
But I mean,
so do you guys like do fundraiser events, or like where can people find you?
so I would love to do more fundraiser and things like that, but it's hard. From what lately I've been doing is just trying to get to people's events just to do pop-ups and stuff to get our name out. So we don't have a ton of money. Oh, sorry. So it makes it hard to like get to some places because we don't have the funding. So right now, yeah, we're gonna try to get out to some charity events. I'm trying to get a 5K put together in October. So we're gonna do that. And man, I mean, really, anywhere that'll let me pop up, we're gonna be. So I've got a list of like breweries, events, places like that. We do have a concert that I teamed up with a Marine National Guard called Hero Salute Project. We're going to do the shirts for the event, and they're doing a free no, it's not free, a concert out here in Kansas City, which is going to be really cool. I've done a golf tournament with First Responder Golf Foundation. They were nice enough to have us out, and we actually did. Well, I was wearing the shirt on the run. So, but yeah, dude, we're gonna be around. Still trying to figure out how, where we're gonna be, but if you just follow us on social, you're gonna hear from what we've got leading up to where we're gonna be out at.
And so you can pretty much say that you can correlate Carry the Flag and Brotherhood together, right? So,
Oh.
but my question to you is, the fire service, you hear that term brotherhood a lot, brotherhood. And then whenever you need something or you turn around and it's like, where are my brothers at? Like, ain't nobody around. So, what's your take on wellness and truly being there for one another when we say, hey, this is a brotherhood?
Yeah. Well, man, I feel like, and like I've said before, is when I was trying to come back to Kansas City, I mean, the brotherhood really wasn't there, where I was like, man, like even the previous department that I came from, it was like, guys, I did 15 years with you guys. Blood, sweat, tears, like we were there. Like, you're just going to do me like that and throw me back at the very bottom of the pack and like scratch it. It kind of puts a bad taste in your mouth. So yes, but again, there is glimpses of people that are still truly sticking to the brotherhood. I'm hoping that the Carry the Flag, I mean, and I wasn't doing a great thing of it too, of passing on the traditions from the fire service or the traditions from our country or anything. I was kind of just in coast mode also doing it. And then when you have this come up and it has that reminder where it's like, hey, like we all got to carry the flag. We got to carry it. Like, just not for our families. We carry it for our crew. Like, again, one day you could go down in a fire and you're going to need me. Like, did I prepare myself? Am I ready for this? So, yes. I feel like that it's just not a statement, but it's, hey, this is the standard that we're setting now. Like, let's bring this all back, because I feel like I don't know. It's weird how like that tradition and stuff has gone away. That it was like, damn, dude. Like when he said it to me, it was like, damn. That's deep, man. Did I carry the flag for the next generation?
Right.
Did I set the bar?
And it's, I 100% get you, but man, there are times like you, I can tell there's a huge difference now. Like where, you know, before, like I've been on my department 18 years. So let's just say 10 years ago, cell phones were a thing, but they weren't a thing like how they are now. So like you'll watch a video or you know all these buffing videos or whatever and you'll see a bunch of dudes out in like their bays and a lot of dudes are either sitting on the sitting on the recliners, they're scrolling through their phone. I'm not saying like there's a time and a place, but it's just different now where people are just so wrapped up and just scrolling instead of like talking, or they may talk and then it's like for 5 minutes and then it's just back to the scrolling for 30 minutes. So it's kind of like that's a tradition, but there are departments out there that whole tradition where it's like, hey, like when we eat, cell phones go in this basket or they're away or whatever the case, or if we go to a certain spot in the fire station, no cell phones allowed. Like dudes have, dudes and gals are talking, but it's hard to start a tradition when the tradition has always kind of been there of, hey, we're just gonna be on our phones.
And see, dude, and I'm bad about it because I'm always on Instagram. I'm trying to get caught up, especially after time when it's my time that I can do what I need to do. It's like, all right,
Right.
I need to catch up on message. Dude, it's a business in its own of just trying to keep up with social media. I take time away from my family to catch up. And then there's times where it's like, all right, I'm off my phone until this. Like I use like it's actually it's one of my biggest things on building the business because that's how I can get and connect with people when I'm not doing a pop-up shop or something. So
Right.
I'm not gonna say that I'm not guilty of it.
Right.
But no, I was kind of sitting there thinking about that last night because there's a couple guys that me and them at this station, we do like to play some video games.
Okay. But
So,
hey, at least you're doing it
dude.
together though.
Oh, yeah. And like, dude, we have it to where, and I don't know if like how I thought of this, but like I was playing video games here with my kids. And what we'll do is like we play Fortnite. And it's like, hey, you get a kill, you pass the remote off. And so it like keeps all of us interacting together and making fun of each other while we're playing, you know? So it's pretty good. But I was kind of thinking about that last night where I was like, man, once I get caught up in all my stuff with Carry the Flag, I do enjoy sitting out front and bullshitting on the ramp, you know? Like sometimes those talks are like, I mean, dude, you know it. And I don't think that now that I've left a department after working there 15 years, you take for granted a lot of some of the stuff that you did because you were just caught up in that time. Like, dude, I miss the guys that I work with. I mean, I miss some of those stations that you were like, dude, we had such a great time together that now that you're gone, you were like, damn, man, like I should have enjoyed that more. Or, you know, you get that good dude on your crew. And you guys have a blast, and then the next thing you know, he gets promoted and he's gone, and you're like, damn, man, wish I would have, we would have taken that in a little bit more. Because, dude, before you know it, you said you put on 18 years.
I'm on my 18th year right now.
Yeah. I mean, man, like we used to be the young guys on the department.
Yeah, trust me, I know. I look back, like I look at all these people we're hiring, and I'm gonna say this. It's just I like to be transparent and genuine. Dude, we're hiring so many people, I can't keep up with their names. Like they'll walk in and it'll be like, "Hey, Danny," and I'm just like, "I have no idea who you are," and I'm just like, "Hey, bro," because I don't know your name. Like we're hiring so many people. It's crazy.
That's the way it was when I was just leaving KCK was you got to a point because KCK is a big department, but it's not a huge department, so you still
Right.
knew everybody. But as I was, you know, there would be new guys, I was like, I have no clue who that is.
Yep.
You know,
Yep.
and it was crazy to get to that. And then you're like talking about some of the old guys and the new guys don't know who they are, and you're like,
Yeah.
you don't know who
Yeah.
the hell that is?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
so yeah, it's weird, man.
But it's just like that, man. Like, seriously, I would hear enjoy it, enjoy it. I'm like, yeah, whatever, these old heads, I call them old heads, whatever they're talking about. But
Yeah.
I sit back. Like you said, as you get older, you sit back and you're like, damn, time has really flown by. I'm on a downhill slope. Literally, like for real, I'm on a downhill slope now.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But it was kind of funny because, because I did bring 16 years with me at this new department. So now, I've only got what, 3 years on there now, but I was high up there in the years. But then I was on a crew of older guys, and then I was still the youngest guy at 38 years old, and I was like, you bunch of old fucks, at 38, I was like, hell yeah, I like this, I'm still the young guy.
I do have a question because I wrote it down here so I didn't forget. You mentioned earlier you retired with 15 years, like
Okay, so yeah, so I'm sorry. I didn't retire with 15 years. I hit vestment into the retirement, so everything
okay.
that I put in was kept with me.
Understood. Okay.
So I left it in the pot for a rainy day. I was like, you know what? If something happens, I can come back, and I start at 15 years. If something doesn't, then I can either get that small payment when I retire in North Carolina, or I can just have two retirements. So
Okay.
yeah, so I'm sorry. I left it in the pot at
Okay.
15. So
And then now that you're back, that 15 transfers to where you're at. So you essentially have 18 now.
yeah, I'm working on
Okay.
18 now. Yeah.
Okay. And what's the retirement like? What's the goal? 20 or 25, 30? I don't know what can I can't
32 is
see.
max.
Okay.
Dude, I used to have it all figured out right before I left, and now I'm like, all right, now wait. There's an equation here, and then the equation changed when I left because they do the what do they call it, where you can, like, the last 5 years. Do you guys have that where it's like you tell the state when you're working on your last 5 years, and they stop putting into your pension, and they like invest the money? Drop program, is that it?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I thought it was called, I've heard a drop program, but I don't know if that's what it is, what you're explaining.
Yeah, I can't remember what they call it, but they changed to that now, so that's what.
Okay.
I've
Well,
still,
either.
yeah, I've still got years to figure it out. I'll figure it out here soon,
I
but
gotcha. Okay. But with that being said, so what's next? Like promotion on the horizon, or are you good staying in the back?
man, when I very first started, I wanted to be a chief. I was like, man, my grandpa was the chief. Like, I want to be the chief. But the longer I get on, I'm like, man, it is really nice not having any responsibility and not having to freaking deal with these knuckleheads in the back if somebody does something stupid. But it's a little more difficult on the department that I'm on now. It's because it's a smaller department, so not a lot of guys are leaving. So if promotion happens up to driver, that's cool. I think I can go for driver next year. After that, I think I have to wait 3 more years for lieutenant, which just depends on what everything does and how it drops. But I mean, I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
It's a little more difficult at a smaller department, where versus a big department, there's guys leaving all the time.
Right,
There's
retirements and
always five.
everything. Yeah. Okay. All right.
We'll see.
So
It's nice not having any responsibilities where it's like, oh, look, so and so said something stupid. Now we have to have a talk with everybody. Now the chief has to have a talk. It's like, not me, man.
All right. With that being said, I'm going to ask you, what's your opinion on the term aggressiveness?
There's a fine line between aggressive and stupid. Dude, we did a lot of stupid shit. Especially when you're young, man, we had in a very, and I'm not saying that the department that I'm not with right now is not aggressive, but I feel like everybody, like the fire department dynamics have changed a little bit about, hey, let's be smart before we run into this fucking house that's on fire. And you get into the basement after it's all out, you're like, I couldn't even tell you what the front of this house looked like because I was just worried about getting that nozzle and getting in as fast as you could. You're on a department that is very aggressive, and that you, if you're not in there, you're a puss. You know, like you get in there, you get the shit done. But I've, and again, that's why I'm like, dude, there's a fine line between aggressive and stupidity. Like, take your time now, look outside, look at where your egress points are, because there were several times I was in a house after we put the fire out, and I was like, I couldn't even tell you where the hell I'm at. Couldn't even tell you where I'm at. And luckily nothing ever happened, but it was stupid. So I think that's a perfect answer to that. I've always and I do, like, there's just so many more jobs on a fire scene than being the guy. You know, everybody wants to be the quarterback. Everybody wants to be on the nozzle, but there's so many more jobs that need to be done, you know, to accomplish the goal. Again, we were so young that it was about impressing, making sure you weren't considered that guy. You didn't want to be known as the slug, the guy that wasn't, oh, my gear malfunctioned at the front door. Oh, crap. You know, I can't go in. You didn't want to be that guy. You wanted to be known as, all right, man, that guy's going to show up and he's going to do work. There's so many more jobs to be done. Hoof and hose. Like, I know you don't have the nozzle, but it, like, dude, if you could just get this guy some hose. I mean, how many times are you standing there and the hose is like down in your armpit? There's three guys in the room, and you're like, can somebody give me some hose? Like, you know, or you're in a house, you're in a freaking room, and there's 10 guys in a room, and you can't even swing an axe. And you're like, guys, like, what the hell are we doing? You know, but it was just, that was the culture. It was like, hey, you didn't want to be caught outside. Like, you, if you were outside, you're getting that name. So,
And so with the way your department works now, you said three stations. So I'm assuming if you guys get a first due structural box, you're getting all three state. Like, what's your first alarm assignment?
And then we have mutual aid with the county around us. So
Okay.
it's something where I'm still learning because it was so new to me. Because we're, you know, in KCK, it was, hey, we have all the resources that we need. We're going to use that resource before we call out. So now it's like, wait, so we possibly could be, and you know, and they have mutual aid agreements with us. So it's like we could possibly be first in on a house that's not even in our territory. Just the way, you know, if we're closer to that, if we beat the other city there. So then you're working with another city, you know, you could, your command could be a chief from another city. You have no clue who it is. It's really weird for me. I'm like, and then they're, you know, and then some of the neighboring departments, their tactics are different than yours, where you're like, wait, why are they doing that? You know, it's just, it's very new to me, very new.
Going from a big city to a smaller department, and also your manpower is limited too. So there is no hiding where you're at now. Like, everybody's got to do the work.
And it's a little bit everything, even the department that I left is being a little bit more structured with blue card and all that, you know, because my brother's still over there. So we talk a lot and he's like, you know, it's changing. Like, you just don't have a lot of freelancing. Like, dude, you just did whatever you wanted to do. A lot of freelancing. But it's all just getting a lot more organized. But I mean, dude, I mean, you come from a department of, you know, Kansas City, Kansas. Yeah, it's a small city, you know, compared to the large ones. But I mean, dude, they've been doing it for so long that that was just like the culture, you know. So
Is your brother still a firefighter there, or has he moved up?
he's still a firefighter there. He's
Okay.
working on, he may, I think he's going to go for the captain spots next one. So yeah,
Okay.
so
Okay. All right. Is he younger or older?
older.
Older. Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
so we actually had four Melitas on Kansas City, Kansas at one time. So my brother and I, and then our cousin, and then his boy.
Gotcha.
There was four of us. But there's also, like, my cousin, you know, My cousin's brother-in-law was on. There was quite a bit.
Okay.
So it was
And
really.
so you have sons now too, right?
I have a son, but he's only 14.
So he doesn't know yet if he wants to go down your path.
Yeah, he said he doesn't want to, but
Okay.
I let him make his own decisions, and if it is what he wants to do, let's do it. But
Gotcha.
definitely understandable if he wants to do something else.
Okay. All
I
right.
think, and he's probably listening, he probably hears me, so but I I think that he told my wife, well, Dad wants me to be a firefighter, and I'm like, hey man, I'm just telling you the benefits of being a firefighter. One of the benefits is you can't buy time back. And so, it's nice having the schedules that we have, and we get, we don't really have weekends because people are like, oh, well, you work the weekend. It's like, yeah, man, I don't really look at it that way. Like, I don't, honestly, I'd rather work on the weekends and be off during the week because nobody's around during the week.
That's true. That's true. Well, what schedule do you guys work there where you're at?
Think we do it the Berkeley or the swing shift, however. So we do the one on, one off, one on, one off, one on, four off.
Okay. So you do get a 4 day break. And what was KCK?
It was one on, two off.
One on, two off. And
Yeah,
then,
24, 48.
okay. Oh, they do 24/48s there. Okay. So how do you like the schedule you're on now compared to a 24/48?
I feel like I'm off a lot more doing the schedule that I'm doing now.
Okay.
Because it just seems like that 4 day, like you enjoy that 4 day, man. What's your guys' schedule?
So we were, since I started, 24/48. It's all I knew, right? And then I remember hearing like 48/96. Charlotte does, I think it's like a modified something in California, but Charlotte's one on, one off, one on, two off, one on, one off, one on, four off, right? So they get a 4 day. And I was like, oh, that schedule's kind of weird. And then like a couple guys in our department were like, hey, let's look at implementing a different schedule. And I'm like, what? Like, what are we doing? And then so it was 24/48, 48/96. When I heard 48, I'm like, 48 hours, bro, at a fire station? Like, fuck no, I don't want to do that. And then it was a 1/3/2/3. So you're on 24, off three, work a 48, then you're off three. And I'm like, okay, these are like really weird. But through this podcast, I started talking to people and they're like, bro, 48/96 all day long. And I'm
I
like,
know, dude.
what? And
I
so
know.
it came time to voting and I'm like, ain't no way this shit's gonna pass 48/96. And then like I started hearing, bro, there's so many people that want to do this. I'm like, for real? So voting time came, it passed. They were like, all right, this is when we're gonna start. And we've been February, it was like late February, so March, April, May, June, July. So we're about 5 months, close to 6 months in. I'll tell you my 100% honesty. Do I like the 48s? Depends. Some days, bro, are long as fuck. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I just want to go home. But when I get to my time off, like the 4 days, bro, you can't beat it. And then if you take a tour off, I think it's 10 days. And then some guys like will take two tours off after that. They're off like 18 days or some crazy shit like that. Like, so I love the 4 days, absolutely, hands down. The 48s, most of the time I'm good, but there are some 48s like I don't like when it's a Saturday, Sunday. Like being away on the weekend while my wife's got to take care of the kid by herself, it's kind of like, eh. Granted, it's only every 6 weeks we got to do it. But if somebody asked me, would you go, if I had to vote tomorrow, would I go back to 24/48? I'd tell you, hell no. Nope, ain't happening. Because I felt like I was never off. I was never off.
But you guys did the 24-48, right?
We did it for a long time.
So I feel like if you would have done the Berkeley like ours, and then switch to that, would be like, oh, hands down yours. Because it was explained to me because Oak Island was thinking about doing it, and they may do it now. But I was against it. And then the dude's like, think about it, Chris. You just drive in one time, you put in your time, and then when you go home, it's 48. Or, 4 days, sorry. And I was like, dang, man, that does make sense. Now you're not driving in, driving out, driving in, driving out, driving in, 4 days off. It's like you go in once, do your 2 days, and then 4 day. And I'm like, dude, our chief is highly against it. They've tried pushing it last year and he just would not budge on it.
Which is and this is this conversation, but it's one of those things where we had got, and I was one of those guys. Like, I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. But like, you look at the benefits, like you said, I drive in once because I don't live where I work. Like,
Yeah, neither do I.
I purposely, when I leave work, I want to leave it. I've always wanted that goal, and I'm finally able to do that. So like, I go in, drive in 2 days, go home for four. And so, yes, your commute time drastically changes. I feel like I have a better recovery rate going back in. And then there are some 48s where it's a blast. Like, before you know it, it's like, damn, 2 days is up. But there are your slow days where you're not really doing anything. And it's just like, oh my God, this is killer. But hands down, I would not go back to a 24/48.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Dude, I'm especially, and so, dude, I would say probably the majority of our department, maybe two guys don't want it.
Okay,
And it's
but
just one of those things where the chief is adamant that with to keep the same shifts as the county around us, our mutual aid, so that we can train and stuff together and be on the same page. I think that's why he's against it. And he,
okay.
you know, and he's pretty lenient. Like he's actually really lenient on a lot of stuff. It's like, hey, if the guys want it, let's do it. This is
Okay.
one of them where he's like, man, I'm just, you got to bring me really good research to tell me the benefits of doing this. And I'm like, dude, I'm for it. So.
I mean, tell him to reach. Hell, he can reach out to me because I'm being 100% honest. I was totally against it. I was like, I do not want to do this, but I tried it. Like, you gotta be an adult to try things. I tried it, and I'm like, it's really not bad. But because I think most of your guys are gonna enjoy having those 4 days off, and then you take a tour off, man. You can take your family on a vacation for a week and you're burning less time.
Yeah,
But
I
then there are some people who you just can't change their mind. They're like, firemen, man, hate change.
Yeah, exactly. But no, dude, I would definitely enjoy it.
Okay.
Again, the dude that Oak Island explained it, I was like, damn, dude, you're right. Now, like you said, it would be an adjustment. You know, my kids are older now, so it's not huge, but I could see like if your kids are young, it would be definitely an adjustment. So, but to like I said, just drive in once to do 2 days. So
Yeah.
I'd be for it.
And how far do you live from, like, approximately, like 30
Dude, like
minutes?
literally 30 minutes, like right on the dot.
Okay.
Like, so when if I go in to work out, I leave at 6 or I leave at 5:50. I'm there at 6:20, 10 minutes to get everything set up, and I'm at 6:30. It's crazy. Like I literally drove in yesterday and I was like, it literally took me 30 minutes right on the dot.
Okay.
That was awesome. That was where it was at Oak Island also. Bad thing about KCK is you got to live in the city. So like you said, is you never
Oh.
really got away from work because you're living with the, you know, everybody, your neighbors or your firefighters. Like when you go somewhere, yeah, dude, you love the guys, but it's like, man, I don't want to talk about the
Right.
calls. Like, and it always comes up to that. It
Yep.
always comes up to the job. Hey, man, you know, the city's doing this, or, you know, it's like, so now the departments that I've lived on, I didn't have to live in the city now. So, like you said, you can kind of get away and everything
Yeah.
now.
Which goes back to that mental health of, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see a patient I was pumping on your chest 2 days ago from an overdose. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see that. So it's like, when I leave work, and some guys feel differently. Some guys want to live where they work. That's fine. But for me, like, I don't want to see, I like my coworkers, but I'd prefer not to see you until I have to go back to work. That's just me.
We'll hang out, but man, I don't want to see everybody at the kids' soccer game. It's like I'm here
Yeah.
to watch soccer. I don't want to talk about what's happening on the department, who did
Yep.
what, or
Yep.
what the
Yep.
city's doing, or what the union's doing. Like, I just want to watch soccer.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. My last question for you. Where would you like to see yourself before you decide to hang it all up? I know it's like a futuristic question, but like everybody has goals, so.
Dude, I just want to be able to be remembered as that cool guy. You know, like, man, he was a hard worker and he was a good dude. You know, you always remember the good dudes. Like, he had my back. He was a hard worker and he was a good dude. That's it.
That's it. No matter what rank you're
No,
at.
dude, because you know what? My family thinks I'm, well, I think my family thinks I'm cool. Rank doesn't mean anything to me because I'm like, whatever, dude. I have somebody that's very close to me that enjoys rank and did not have the greatest family life. He made his life the job, did not make the best decisions. And now he has his rank, but he's by himself.
Exactly.
At the
Exactly.
end of the day, you know, dude, being a great person, being a hard worker, and just being that dude that you're like, man, he was fucking awesome. That's what I want to be.
That's facts. And that's kind of why I started this whole thing, this whole podcast is the fact like you can love the job. It's great. You have some guys that are ate up with the job, but you can't let that love and passion take over what really matters. 'Cause the way I look at it, and it's fucked up, but it's reality, man. Fire department is a business. Like with you putting your paperwork to retire, they're gonna go, hey, Chris. We'll get everything ready for you. Your shift might give you like a going away thing. You get a couple plaques, take some pictures, eat some cake. The next day, bro, your replacement is there.
Dude,
That's facts.
you're 100% correct. You think KCK cares that I left?
Nope.
Nope. I was replaced the very next academy. Didn't matter. But yeah, man, that's just one of the things, dude. And you've been in the game long enough. You've seen guys that, like, dude, they eat and breathe this stuff. Dude, we need guys like that. But there's some guys that they've taken it overboard where it's like, you literally got a divorce because you're now hanging out with the guys too much, and everybody wants to go to the strip club. And you're like, dude, if I was your wife, I'd be pissed too. Like, literally, he's like, well, I don't know why she's pissed. I'm like, really? Put yourself in her situation. Don't you think you would be pissed? Like, come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, it's definitely one of those things where, like you said, work hard. Have fun and just be there for your family.
Definitely, definitely.
But
And
I love it
go
too,
ahead.
man, because I do, like you said, you started this and there's just a lot of things that I see with these chiefs and stuff. And I'm starting to like see a lot of posts that it's kind of just aggravating when you see guys doing shit for the wrong freaking reason. And not standing up for the guys. I had an awesome captain that he would always like, he was there for you. Like, literally, one day, snowing its ass off, you're on the rig, and I was on the ambulance that day because at KCK we had ambulances. And, dude, I was going to be in our bunker gear all day long. It was just snowing. It was a Sunday, and I had shorts on at the station. And, dude, Chief got on me for it. Usually, I'm the guy, I always wear my uniform because, dude, I hate wearing my bunker gear everywhere. Like, it was okay to wear your bunker gear in houses and on medical calls. I hated doing it because it was just so clunky. It's just such a pain in the ass. Like, so I always wore my uniform. But that day I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna just wear it, you know, and the chief got on me. And
Yeah.
dude, my freaking captain let him have it that day. He was like, this is our station. You don't come in here, you know, telling my guys what to wear. Now, when we leave this house, they're gonna look professional. But when we're here, we do what we want. And I mean, dude, like, ever since that dude just had my back, you have that respect for him. He's like, he's got your back. You see some of these guys that are just trying to get these Chiefs positions because they have to feel like it just irritates me.
Dude, it's sickening, but what I love about this day and age is they're being called out. Their pictures are being shown, their names are being posted. Like, people know whether you agree with it or not. That's the whole part of being a leader. You have to lead by example. Like, let the guys and the gals be who they are. Those are your boots on the ground. Those are the ones who are giving you the reputation. So, and I understand there are certain things firemen are going to do some dumb shit. It's inevitable. It happens. But when we start worrying about, oh, your hat's on backwards, or his shirt's not tucked in, like, if I call you for trouble breathing, I could give two shits if your shirt's not tucked in. Just handle my emergency, like, whatever. But we get into, but and you know, there may be some shoes that they're like, well, I disagree. All right, well then let's spin it a different way. We can have an SOG or SOP on uniforms, but then you won't tell your fireman, who's obviously obese and overweight and out of shape, get into the gym. Hey, no, we can't say that. That's an HR nightmare. Okay, so when he goes down in a fire and I gotta drag his ass out and I get hurt or whatever. So, like, let's balance this out. We have rules on uniforms, but we don't have fitness standards, right? Fuck out of here with that.
Yeah. Dude, you're 100% right. Or hey, you got too much white on your shoes. Really? That's what we're worried about. That's what we're worried about right now. Like, if we're worried about that, then we've got plenty of fucking time on our hands. Like, dude, do the right thing and guys will jump on that grenade for you.
That's right.
They
That's
will
right.
fuck. I mean, dude, for that captain, I will fucking do anything for that dude. Because and it, again, it's just like you do those little things and he doesn't have to ask me. Shit'll get done around the station. Everything will get done because we don't want to fucking disrespect him because we know he's got our back. He asks us to do something, dude, we're gonna do it because that's just what we do.
That's right. Like,
But
it's crazy if you think about, like, you have a captain or a lieutenant or a chief that goes the extra mile for you whenever you're in need, bro. You will turn around and there'll be 100 su fucking soldiers behind you, standing with you. You know what I mean? But I just, some of them don't see it that way. That's not how they were raised. That's not how, some of them don't even really have the experience of knowing what it was like being on the truck. But they get the paperwork, they move up the rank fast, and
they forget.
that's, they forget. It is what it is.
And
Love
again,
it.
like, I'd rather have those 100 people behind my back than be the dude with all the plaques on the wall and fucking dictating shit. So, whatever.
Going home eating Hungry Man meals or whatever, because you ain't got nobody there to come home with. So, whatever, bro. But nah, dude, I appreciate you coming on. I love the message. It is one thing, like, I want firefighters, especially young ones, to think about. Don't forget, like, you're young now, but man, before you know it, you're getting up there in age, you're on the downhill slope. So enjoy the moment. Don't rush to promote. Like, everyone has their everybody has goals in life, but learn each rank before you decide to go on to the next. Because that's another thing I see that we're losing, is like, firemen don't know what it's like to be a back step because they're only there for like a month or a year and then they move up and stuff like that. So I just want to say I appreciate you coming on, man. I love the talks.
Yeah,
Small
dude.
freaking world. Small freaking world that we know certain people, but I've thoroughly enjoyed this.
Yeah, that's awesome, Danny. Like, thanks for having me on, man. And it was good bullshitting about the department. It's nice hearing the different how other people do it and, you know, perspectives and stuff, but this is how we keep pushing it and moving it on. This is how we
That's
keep
right.
planting the flag, man. We got to keep it going and pass it on to the next person. Hey, these are the standards, these are the traditions. Like, let's pass it on. Like, we're not gonna, like I said, if we don't do that, then these chiefs and these higher ups are gonna freaking keep doing this shit because there is no standard, there is no tradition, and guys need to stand for those and be like, all right, we're not doing that shit. You know, we're not gonna do that because we never did that shit. Now we're just gonna do it because this one person fucking wants it. Whatever. Get out of here.
Facts. And I did forget, shameless plug, man. Carry the flag. Where can people find you, see you, like, go? Shh.
Dude, carry the flag USA.com. Carry the flag USA on Instagram. That's where you're gonna catch me all the time. Those are the two places where you're gonna get me. Again, we're just starting this up. Hopefully, we can build it to a bigger brand, a bigger message, and keep getting it out there. And I can't do it without people like you. I can't do it without all my fans on Instagram and all the support. Dude, I appreciate it. You need to stop by and make sure you get a sticker also.
We'll definitely talk afterwards.
Yeah, definitely,
Bye,
man. Definitely.
bro. Have a great day.
Yeah, see you guys.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.